Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show, the show that takes the mystery out of spirituality with your host, David Gagan, engineer, science director, scholarly researcher of life's mysteries, and author of The Endless Journey.
Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show. I'm host Dave Gagan, and this is the show where we talk about subjects which are critical to our happiness and spiritual evolution. Please note that all the chat room questions will be answered in the chat room on next week's show, as well as posted on my website, which is davidgagan.com, hopefully within a day or so of the show. When you visit the site, you can also ask additional questions, even about other shows. You can listen to any previous show on iHeartRadio at iHeart.com by searching for either David Gagan or Common Sense Spirituality. I have also launched a new podcast titled Aspects of Spirituality, which is on iHeartRadio also. There I explain my worldview and what I've learned about the mysteries of life in short weekly podcasts. I hope you'll join me there. It's important that we understand our heritage and learn the lessons that our ancestors learned so many years ago. With modern technology advancing so rapidly, we often fool ourselves into thinking we are wiser than past generations. But wisdom does not change over time, and although they did not have the internet hundreds and even thousands of years ago, life was simpler then, and it was easier to see truth and understand how we fit into nature. All the cultures of the world have handed down their history and ancient wisdom to us, and the onus is on us to embrace it. The cultures of the Native American Indians are no different. Our show today is titled Native American Wisdom, and our guest is Cynthia Ruiz, author of Cherokee Wisdom. Ms. Ruiz spent her life working in the sophisticated business world of Los Angeles, where she was, amongst other things, an executive managing some 5,000 employees. But as a Cherokee Nation native, she never forgot her roots and the wisdom which has been passed down to her. Cynthia Ruiz, welcome to the show, Cynthia.
Genesis G9.
Hello from Los Angeles. How are you today?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good, thanks. I guess it's pretty early out in Los Angeles. It's hard to know what kind of day you're going to have, but most of them are pretty good out there, I guess.
A quick correction.
Well, each and every day is a blessing, so it's going to be a great day.
There you go. Hey, you wrote Cherokee Wisdom. Why did you write Cherokee Wisdom?
Well, Cherokee Wisdom is actually my second book, and I actually come from dual cultures. My dad is Mexican, a Mexican-American, and then my mom is Cherokee, so we're registered members of the Cherokee Nation. And what really resonated with me, as I've been in very powerful positions, I had to find something as my guidepost when I had to make the difficult decisions. As you mentioned, I've been in a position where I've run a department of 5,000 people. And as you can imagine, it was president of the Board of Public Works for the city of Los Angeles. So it's all the city's infrastructure. And I was in a situation where many times I was the only female in the meeting, because as you're an engineer, you know that, you know, infrastructure is very male dominated. So I could be in a meeting with 30 people and I was the only female. So I had to really, when I was making the tough decisions, I said, okay, how am I going to do this? You can't make everybody happy. So what I started to do is really use my values to make these difficult decisions. So I know if I made the tough decisions from my core values, I would never make a bad decision for me. Doesn't mean I'd make everybody happy, but at least I can live with that. And so I tapped into my Cherokee history. And in the Cherokee way of life, we have what's called 12 attributes of leadership. So basically, these are cultural values or things that we value in a leader. And the first is integrity. So always have integrity. And the way we define integrity, the Cherokees, is do the right thing even when no one else is looking. You know, sometimes it's easy to do the right thing when other people are looking, but when nobody is looking and it's just you and the Creator is still going to know. So have integrity in all you do.
That's that's clearly an excellent value and guideline to go by. I think integrity also requires a certain amount of self-respect. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, absolutely. So it's self-respect and also respect for others, because everything in life is a duality. So it's about yourself and it's about others as well. And what I believe and the way I interpret respect, first of all, self-respect is really believing in yourself. And respect for others is each and every one of us have our own journey. And it doesn't mean my journey in life is better than yours. It's just different. We're all unique individuals on this earth. And so to me, respect for others means that I'm not trying to force my opinion on you. I respect that you have your individual journey, and I hope that you respect me in my journey and the decisions that I make.
Yeah, I agree. Integrity is doing what's right. Honesty is abiding by the law. And, it's one thing to be honest, but it's another thing to have integrity. And I agree. That's a very, very strong point for any leader. I think if you don't have it, it undermines your entire position. And maybe people do or don't say something to you as a leader, but they'll say it behind your back if they don't think you have integrity.
Exactly. And integrity is so important. It's really, to me, the core of who I am as a spiritual being. And I try to act with integrity in all aspects of my life.
Yeah. Okay. So what's another one? And one of them in the book, and I read your book, enjoyed your book. Being strong. What's it mean to be strong?
Well, a lot of times when you say strong, people think of physical strength. And absolutely, physical strength is important. You know, we have to be healthy. And of course, I exercise on a regular basis and I try to eat healthy. So a physical strength is one part, but that emotional strength. You know, I grew up in the inner city of Los Angeles and we grew up with very little resources. So I really had to struggle. And I was the first person in my family to go to college. And my parents didn't even have money to buy a book for me. So I had to tap into my inner strength, my emotional strength, to really keep me going, because I was in uncharted territory. And I'm happy to say that staying strong paid off for me, and I was able to get my master's degree by the time I was 23, which was pretty unheard of since nobody in my family had gone to college before.
Yeah, that's good. You know, the other thing is the mental strength. And, you know, and I'm sure, you know, in your world and business, you've run into people that get swayed by the last argument they hear. And there's nothing more frustrating than having gone in and had a nice discussion with your boss or something, and you pick a direction, and all of a sudden you find out somebody went in afterwards and picked another direction. I'm sure you've had that experience.
I have, but I also, you know, learn not to take it personal, because the boss, whoever that person may be, has every right to make their decision and hear all the information. So I don't take it personal when they didn't take my opinion. But, you know, the other thing why mental strength is so important is when we go through our life journey, we're going to have challenges. Nobody has a perfect life. Everybody has challenges in your life. It could be a loss of a loved one. It could be loss of a job. It could be many, many different things. So that mental strength is really can help us get through that challenge. And once you get to the other side of the challenge, you can, if it's you lost somebody, then you can celebrate their life. If you lost a job, then you can say, well, let me look at the lesson that I was supposed to learn. Because I believe that every challenge in your life is there to teach you a lesson. So it's about, when you have mental strength, being open to that lesson you're supposed to learn.
Yeah, I agree with that. Give me another one. What's another one of your 12 that you had?
Well, one of my favorites in leaders, and a lot of leaders forget about this, is humility, being humble. And I think that most cultures have the same value, but humility is so important. And it goes back to what I was talking about respect. Humility is realizing that we're no better than anyone else. We each have our own journey. And just because I have a fancy title of commissioner in front of my name, or president of the Board of Public Works, or author, or professor, those things don't make me better than the next person, and it doesn't make my journey better than yours. It just, you know, being humble is being grateful that I have these opportunities and not trying to compare myself to others.
Yeah, that's good advice. Yeah, give me another one.
Well, another one is communication. And communication sounds so easy, but when you're a leader, it's important to communicate your expectations, your goals, and how to deliver on a project. You've spent many years, you know, in the business world as an engineer, as a scientist, and you realize that as a leader, it's so important to be able to communicate to the people that you're leading. Because if they're confused, they may not be successful. And it really comes down to the leader being able to articulate the expectations and the goals. Now, in today's world, communication is becoming complicated. We live in a high-tech world, which is a good thing. The technology has connected to the world. But the challenge there is that a lot of people that depend on technology, especially our young people, the millennials, they're using technology as their main form of communication, and they're losing the personal touch. You know, having meetings, having telephone conversations, having that one-on-one. So it's so important to keep that communication going. But I use a hybrid. Yes, I text. Yes, I email. Yes, I do all those things. But I also, if I really need to communicate something important, I'll pick up the phone or have a meeting with somebody to discuss it.
How about the nonverbal cues? I mean, those are hard to get through technology sometimes. They're even hard to get on the phone sometimes. But you can get some of them on the phone, but not all of them.
Well, you know, that's an excellent point, because my son tells me many times that, you know, I'll just give him a look, and he'll say, "Oh, Mom," and I said, "I didn't even say anything." Excuse me. And he goes, "Well, you didn't have to. I saw it in your eyes." So you're absolutely right about the nonverbal communication. And I didn't even think about that, how technology really eliminates the nonverbal communication, which is so important.
Yeah, it really is. And listening is really the key to communication. But, you know, we have a tendency not to sometimes, maybe a lot of times, but listening is key.
Well, it goes back to what I was talking about, duality. I mean, communication, there's two parts to communication. There's speaking and there's listening, and you're absolutely right. Many people in today's society are not good listeners, because we live in a society that's in a hurry, that's about instant gratification. And so people say, "Oh, well, I know what you were going to say before you said it." Well, no, not necessarily. So listening is something that is very important. So thank you for bringing that up.
You mentioned in your book that women speak 20,000 words a day and men speak 7,000 words a day. I thought that was an interesting tidbit. Is there any significance to that?
Well, yes. I mean, we all know, that going back to Dr. John Gray, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. We're different. And again, it doesn't make one better than the other. And now what's happening in the leadership world, you have more women coming into leadership roles. Women lead by what's called social power. Men lead by personal power. So what does that mean? Women bring different skill sets to the workplace and to life. So we tend to lead by social power, which is more compassion, more group-oriented, more networking. We look at the greater good of the group. Where men traditionally have led by personal power, where they are more authoritarian, they are more, "Let's just get the job done." And again, one's not better than the other, it's just different. So yes, women tend to communicate more, and men or just let's just get the job done. They're all about business. And sometimes they get frustrated with when women want to revisit the same issue. And the guys were like, we already talked about that. We don't need to talk about that anymore. So it's just interesting. And that's not, you know, something that I made up. Those are studies that have shown women, you know, use more words. And again, it's not good or bad. It's just different. And when we understand the opposite sex in a workplace or in a relationship, you know, we realize it's okay to be different. We have different skill sets and, you know, we both need each other.
Yeah, agreed. How about confidence, self-confidence? How does that play into all of this?
Well, what happens in life is that when you're first born and you start out as a baby, you know, you're happy. All your needs are met. I mean, when you're happy, you laugh, and when you need something, you cry. So we actually have life experiences, and many people develop insecurities as they move through life. Maybe somebody told them they weren't good enough. And sometimes you talked about the nonverbal communication. When these young girls are sitting there watching TV and see these beautiful models that are very, very thin, they in their mind compare themselves and say, well, I don't look like that, so I must not be good enough. So sometimes it's through things that are said to them that they develop these insecurities. And sometimes it's just the nonverbal where they see a standard that society puts out there based on the media, and they compare themselves to that and they feel like, I'm not good enough. So it's really challenging sometimes for people to develop that self-confidence. So that's one of the reasons why I really give back a lot. I work with a program called Girls Today, Women Tomorrow, where we work with girls ages 9 to 21, and we work with them to build their confidence, to expose them to different opportunities. We do everything from workshops to going hiking. And they also build a bond with other girls to realize that other girls are their friends and they could be their support. They're not their competition. So I think for women in particular, and studies have shown this, women tend to have more problems with their self-esteem and confidence versus the guys. Guys, of course, this is a generalization. Many young men play sports and they have that experience of teamwork and really being, you know, confident in their self. So confidence is such an important value. But again, confidence, the opposite of that is insecurity. So it's getting over those insecurities that you develop and realizing that the Creator made you perfect, you're whole and complete just the way you are.
You know, I think you're absolutely right about teamwork. I know when I was growing up, which was a long time ago, there were very few opportunities for the girls that in our school to be on teams. And if they wanted to be on team, it was almost self-organized. And now, when my kids grew up, which was a while ago, they had a lot of women's team. I have two daughters, and they had women's opportunities for women's teams, in virtually every sport, and maybe not football, but you know, in most all sports. And today it's even more so. And I think that's a huge, huge thing. I think if you can feel it, it's just one thing that allows you to feel good about yourself. It's another opportunity. And there's other things too, all right? There's art, there's singing, there's all kinds of things. But sports is an opportunity to have to sacrifice for the betterment of others and become part of a team. And I think it has helped the young women of today so much that, you know, with these opportunities.
So, David, as being a father of two daughters, what did you do to instill confidence in them?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I, of course, athletically, I coached their teams and such like that. And I think the thing to do is you try to encourage them when they do something well, and not make a big deal about you know, the errors and such. You know, it's funny. You look back on life and you look back and you say, you know, what could I have done better? And if anybody doesn't have things that they couldn't have done better, they probably, you know, aren't trying now. But you look back and you say, you know, if I was wiser then, I'd have done this or that. But I think the key is to, you know, to try to build people up, and you try to get them to realize that they can do whatever they want to do. And I'll tell you, it's been very rewarding for my wife and I to see the kids. You start out as a small child, and you really. You know, you don't know who you are or what you are, and then to see them blossom into somebody that's really, caring for people and really doing really positive things, you know, it makes you feel good. But it takes a lot of, you know, it takes time, and it takes time for the individual. Each one grows on their own. Each one makes decisions on their own. And, it's not easy. It's not easy raising kids.
Right, and as a parent, you can only do so much. One of the challenges many young people have with self-confidence and self-esteem is when they are in school, you know, all the kids are going through the same thing. So unfortunately, there's a lot of bullying going on because these kids are really insecure themselves. So what do? They revert to bullying and putting other people down so they could feel better. And it's really, you know, so sad to see so much bullying going on, because how do you... If you're a victim of bullying, how do you develop your self-confidence? How do you develop, you know, those skills that you need the rest of your life?
Yeah, it's you're absolutely right. That's clearly a major issue, and it always has been. Bullying is nothing new. It's it's probably been around as long as mankind has been around. I think at least people are addressing it a little bit more. We certainly had bullying when I was young. There's no question about it. I'm not sure that we ever talked about it much. And people are today. So I think that's hugely positive.
Well, you're right, because, you know, everybody got bullied. I was very tall. I am very tall. I actually get my height from my Cherokee side. And I was a very tall young woman. So, of course, you know, they called me Jolly Green Giant. And they called me all these different stuff. But I think what's happened in today's society is that the bullying's gotten harsher because they do it through social media, so they can hide behind this wall of social media, and it's gotten more cruel. So yeah, it's a challenge to develop self-esteem in young people when there's out there. But to me, you know, the only way you conquer hate is through love. So it's, you know, creating those environments at home like you did, or with social groups or support groups where they can really feel loved and accept who they are.
Yeah, I agree. Talk about respectfulness. You know, that's one of your key, 12 key items.
Right. Well, respect is so important, especially in the workplace. Because if you're a leader in the workplace and you want to get the job done, you really have to respect the skills of your group. And in turn, if a group is going to follow a leader, they should respect the leader. But respect is one of those tricky things that it's not automatic. You know, respect comes over time. In the Cherokee culture, we respect our elders. Elders play a very important part in our society because we respect them for their knowledge and their wisdom that they've gained in their life. Well, I find that in the workplace, just because you're more mature doesn't give you automatic respect. So respect is very complicated, but it's very important to be a leader and to have the group follow you.
Yeah. I built this business, and it was a manufacturing business. We built front ends for radars and such like that. And what I found is the engineers who would generally have the higher social standing, I guess, if you will, in the group versus some of the manufacturing, they would design something and they'd expect these manufacturing guys to build it. And what we found out is the manufacturing guys very often knew more about what it takes to build something than the engineer did. Engineer could put it on a piece of paper and he could say, hey, you know, you make this work, you know, do this and it all works. And then and the manufacturing guy would come back and he'd say, well, that sounds good, but you can't put it together that way because it, the thing, parts don't fit. It just doesn't work. And then they'd come back and they'd say, you know, but if you did this, if you changed this, then I could do this. And instead of taking me an hour to put something together, it will take me 2 minutes. And by getting that kind of feedback and having the respect for the guys on the shop floor that are making things happen and making it, you know, building in the quality. That's really, you know, you can't design in the quality. You got to build it in. And these people all up and down the work process, they had tremendous inputs, and that's really what allowed, you know, I think the company to do as well as it did is by listening and respecting the ideas of the people that maybe didn't have quite the education as the other ones did, but they were as smart. And they had as good an idea about something because they knew a certain piece of it better than anybody else because that was their job. That's what they lived. And that's all about respect.
Absolutely. And when you're talking about that, I remember a situation when I was president of the Board of Public Works and we were going to build a bridge and it was going to help the community. And so we used to have community meetings to discuss this and, you know, we had to be open and transparent and let them know what was going on. Number one community meeting with 200 people and the engineers got up there and made the presentation and they're like, this is a good bridge. You should like it. And then the community was talking a completely different language. They're like, no, we don't want this bridge. It's going to impact our community. It's going to bring more cars and it's going to cause asthma for our kids. And it really got to be a contentious meeting. And I realized that the community and the engineers were talking two different languages. So I had to figure out a way to really bridge that. Unfortunately, it didn't happen in that one meeting, but I had to step back and say, okay, why is this meeting not going very well? And partially it was respect, but it was partially they were coming from two different places. So I had to figure out a way to bridge that, have them develop that respect and understand the other side's position so we could work together to be able to, you know, have a successful project.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a key element to do. Determination. How's determination fit into all of this? Your leadership skills.
Well, determination goes hand in hand with not giving up. Be determined. You know, anytime I've either started a business or a project, I love to do the SWOT analysis and figure out where I'm going. Develop a plan, but we all know that life happens. So even though you may have the best made plan, you have to be willing to adjust. So determination comes in saying, I'm going to reach that end goal. It may not have been the plan that I thought it was going to be because circumstances have changed, but I'm determined and I'm motivated enough to get there, making adjustments and doing what it takes to get the job done. So determination is so important because a lot of times things may not happen in our time. It may happen when God or the Creator feels, you know, the time is right. So it's really being determined and never giving up.
Mm. You have to believe it's possible too, don't you?
Absolutely. When I do a lot of speaking to young kids, I say anything is possible. I'm living proof because I came from very meager means and I've been able to do some great things in my life. But anything is possible. First of all, you have to believe it's possible. Second of all, you have to do the work because there's some people that believe it but don't do the work. So you have to believe it's possible, do the work, and never give up. And with that, those three ingredients, I believe that anything is possible and people should follow their dreams.
Yeah. And a minute ago, you mentioned something about in God's time, not ours, which relates to patience. Talk to me about patience.
Well, patience is something that a lot of people in today's world find very challenging, because I mentioned a few minutes ago, we live in a society of instant gratification. So with my spirituality, and the way I define spirituality is, I believe that spirituality, I have a direct connection to the Creator, to God, universal consciousness, whatever term you want to use, versus religion. Religion, in my opinion, is man-made. I don't criticize religion. I think all religions are good. As long as you believe in something, I think that's important, and that's very individual. But I think with my spirituality, I've learned that I can't control everything. So sometimes I have to have patience and just sit back and you know, do the work, but realize that I can't control the whole world. I just have to have patience and realize that it's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. Because I know a lot of us, you know, want to control everything around us, but it doesn't work that way. So I think as I've become more mature, I've developed more patience.
Yeah. Also, what you realize as life goes on is that nothing lasts forever. And you know, and you get yourself a situation where you're not happy with the boss or the people you're working with or whatever. But you know, that these situations are not permanent. And if you recognize that, I think sometimes it's easier to get through those difficult times.
Well, David, I couldn't agree more. And one of the things I talk about in the book is the whole world runs in cycles. There's always a beginning, middle, and end. And you're right. Everything is temporary. So we don't have control. Say if you're in a bad situation at work, you don't have control over your boss. But what you do have control over is how you react and your part of the equation. So if you are unhappy with the boss, you need to look at what role you're playing and what can you do, not how can you control the other person. Just like many people have situations where they have difficult family members. Well, we can't choose our family members, but what we can choose is how we interact with them. Because I'm, you know, I have a few family members that, you know, are very challenging, and most people do. Now, you know, we're coming up on the holidays and people are like, well, how do I deal with my family member? He says, well, you have a choice in how you interact with them and how you deal with them. You don't have to argue with them. You don't have to fight with them. You know, just have to love them and bless them, and they're going to have their own journey as well as yours.
Yeah, it's not what the world, the challenges that the world presents to you that's important. It's how you react to them. And we cause our own suffering.
Right. And I love the fact that, you know, you talk about the common sense spirituality, because for me, spirituality has really grounded me. And I actually have a spiritual practice. And every day I do three things. First of all, when I wake up in the morning, I do my gratitude list. What am I grateful for? And sometimes it's just I'm grateful to wake up and be blessed with another day. Sometimes it's I'm grateful to have a bed to sleep in, because Los Angeles, we have a chronic homelessness issue. So not everybody has a bed to sleep in. So by starting with my gratitude list, it really gives me a positive attitude throughout the day. Then the other two things I do on a daily basis, I pray and I meditate. So what I like to say is prayer is talking to God and meditation is listening. So having those three things in my spiritual practice really keeps me grounded and really keeps me happy and peaceful as I go through my journey in life.
Yeah, those are excellent ways to start your start or finish or some part of your day. That's an excellent set of values to follow. How about responsibility? You know, for leadership, how important is responsibility?
Well, responsibility is one of the cornerstones of leadership, because the leader is responsible for leading the group. And all of these attributes really kind of tie together. Because as a leader, if you're going to lead a group, you have to take responsibility in helping the group understand the parameters, understand the goals that you're working towards, setting up accountability, and then executing on the plan. So if you have a leader that's just doesn't care or doesn't show up to the job, then how are they going to be the person that's going to be leading this group? So responsibility is so important. But to me, responsibility goes hand in hand with integrity. You know, one of my pet peeves is when somebody, you know, sets up an appointment and then just doesn't show up for whatever reason. That's happened to me several times this year. And I get very annoyed, because to me, if I set up a meeting and I set the time and set the date, you know, I show up. And there was a situation where the other person didn't. So, you know, I waited very patiently, and then I emailed her half an hour later, and she says, "Oh, well, my daughter was sick today." And I'm thinking, okay, your daughter was sick. At some point, you knew your daughter was sick, so why didn't you notify me that the meeting was canceled? So being responsible is so important, because it also goes hand in hand with respect. You know, I felt like she was disrespectful of my time, because I had to drive to downtown Los Angeles, find parking, you know, show up for the meeting, and I showed up a few minutes ahead of time and sit there and waited for half an hour only to find out she wasn't going to show up at all. And then, you know, traffic coming home. But again, I felt she was being irresponsible. So responsibility is so important, because it's not only respect for yourself, but respect for others in the group that you're leading.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think we've all had that experience at one time or another, and it's terribly annoying, and it's unnecessary, and it does not help the leadership position of anybody when you're not respectful of others. How about teacher? How important is teaching as a leader?
Well, teaching for me is, the more mature that I've become, is actually one of the cornerstones of why I even wrote the book. Because in Cherokee Wisdom, and I've already talked about respect for elders, but what we feel is the older we get, the more mature we get, and the more knowledge we gain, we actually have a responsibility to society and to others to teach them the wisdom that we have obtained to help them and other people. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting here saying I know everything, because nobody does. But if I can share with other people some of the challenges that I've had, and it's going to make their life easier, teaching is very important. And I've really taken this to heart, because now I've become a professor. So I teach at the graduate level. I teach leadership and management. And it's so rewarding, because I'm working with adults that are working full-time and they're going back and getting a master's degree in business. So teaching them not only the book knowledge, but teaching them of practical skills that they can use in their jobs when they are the team leader and when they are working with others. So teaching is kind of a cornerstone of what we believe, because we believe that you should share your knowledge to help others and make their lives better.
Yeah, some people that I've run across in life have felt that knowledge was power, and they thought that if they kept the knowledge to themselves, then people would need them more, and it turns out exactly the opposite. Knowledge is indeed power, but it's only power when you share it, and you need to do that. You know, we all have a truth, that we believe in, and it doesn't have to be right or wrong, but it's a truth, and it's important that we share our truth, and we share it with others. And if it's, you know, and if somebody else disagrees with you, well, that's fine, because then they can share their truth with you, and you can. And you can either accept it or not, but it is an important factor in how we interface with the world. And if you sit there and keep all of this knowledge that you've gained in, to yourself, one, it doesn't help you, but doesn't help anybody else either. And I think it's important that you know, that we're all teachers in, you know, in whatever way we can be. And as the same time that you're a teacher, if you're a listener, you're a learner too, and it goes two ways.
Well, but David, and that's why I feel that your show, The Common Sense Spirituality, is so important, because what you share in your, you know, radio broadcast is lessons that you've learned, and you bring on different speakers. So, you know, you have a platform that's a positive platform that people need right now. There's so much negativity out there with the mainstream media and news. So having a platform and sharing your information about spirituality, your knowledge, is so important. So thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you for your kind words. Native wisdom, Native American Indian wisdom. You talk about it from a Cherokee perspective, because that's where, you know, that's your background and such. Have you ever looked at some of the other Native American wisdom for the other tribes, and you know, is it similar to what you know, to what you were taught when you grew up?
Well, I think that there is some very much similarities. And I think one of the most famous people that teaches this is Don Miguel Ruiz. He teaches Toltec wisdom. And so, again, it goes back to, you know, simplicity. How do we keep our lives simple? You know, with the Cherokees, we believe in harmony and balance. And so it's very simplistic. So many tribes believed something very similar. Now, in the United States, there's 575 federally recognized tribes. So I can't say that every tribe is the same, because, you know, every tribe has a little bit of differences. But I think there is a commonality of, you know, harmony, balance, the love for Mother Earth, and the environment. So I think there's similarities. And then, just like any other society, you have a little bit of differences. But for me, the knowledge that I've gained through my ancestors is so important to me and who I am as a person. And if you look at the history of the Cherokees, you know, before the settlers came, they were actually a matriarchal society. And they believed in harmony and balance, not only with the universe, but with each other, with the masculine and feminine. You know, yes, there were defined roles, you know, but everything was based on the female, in terms of it was divided up into clans, and the clans were traced through your mother's roots. And so, you know, it was a matriarchal society, and it was very harmonious and peaceful. So it wasn't until the settlers came that things changed very drastically. And unfortunately, there was, I don't want to get into the negative history, but there's a lot that happened to the Cherokees over the history. But I do believe that there's a lot of commonality. And I think one of the things that's been in the news lately is what's happening to the Standing Rock Sioux tribe in North Dakota.
Right.
And what has been really exciting for me, because I know that was a very powerful movement, or still is a powerful movement, that over 300 tribes came together. And I haven't seen that in my lifetime, where that many tribes have come together. And that was a movement that actually went worldwide. I was doing a radio interview in Australia, and they knew about it. So sometimes when you have like negative situations like that, the positive, the silver lining, is that more tribes than ever have come together. And I think that the tribes have felt a lot of competition with each other, but I think the core values of who they are basically harmonious people that want to be in balance with Mother Nature.
Okay. Does one last question, because we're running out of time here. Life's purpose. Do the Cherokees have a view on what life's purpose is?
The overall purpose is to be in harmony and balance with the universe.
Okay. Cynthia Ruiz, how can people find you? Well, you know, what are you doing? Are you writing any more books these days?
Well, I'm always writing. So I'm very easy to find. I encourage people to go to my website, which is my name, Cynthia, CYNTHIAM, which is my middle initial, Ruiz, RUIZ.com, CynthiaMRuiz.com. From there, they can connect with me on all my social media platforms. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, you name it, I'm on it. But I love connecting with people. My books, Finding Sane Relationships in a Crazy World, and Cherokee Wisdom, 12 Lessons for Becoming a Powerful Leader on Amazon.com. But I just really, David, appreciate this opportunity to have this discussion with you. And thank you for all you do.
Thank you so much, Cynthia. You've been a great guest. Obtaining wisdom is a long process, as no one can bestow it on us. The more we talk and hear each other's ideas, the more we'll be able to mature our own views. Questions and answers from the chat room for today's show and other shows will be posted on my website at davidgagan.com. You can ask other questions directly by going to the contact section of my website, and I'll publish those answers as well. Also, I cover these subjects and many more in my book, The Endless Journey. I look forward to sharing our thoughts every Friday morning at 9 a.m. United States Eastern Time here on W4CY.com. You can also find all the old episodes of the Common Sense Spirituality Show and Aspects of Spirituality on iHeartRadio at iHeart.com.
Truth is indeed stranger than fiction, and it turns out to be an amazingly good news story. We all have a great destiny ahead of us. Let me leave one last thought. You are a unique spirit having a life experience. You are far more important in the grander scheme of things than you can possibly realize. Enjoy your life.